It's good to be the National Football League, and it's always good to be Greg Papa. Greg, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. How are you?
Well, I would say, you know, happy holidays, happy New Year and all that, but, boy, the holidays suck this year. Derek on Christmas Eve, and then I don't know what that was on New Year's Day. So the Raiders are going to play their first playoff game in 14 years. We should be so excited, but it doesn't feel the same. The whole thing is just feels different. And, you know, had they been able to win that game in Denver, they would have missed this wild card round. They would have more than likely, if Pittsburgh beats Miami, they would have hosted the Pittsburgh Steelers on Saturday night, January the 14th. It would have been the East Coast late game, 8:30, 5:30 here, the primetime playoff spot. And as you're saying, now we get relegated to the worst spot. Although we love John Gruden and Sean McDonough, my college roommate, that early spot on Saturday that ABC and ESPN is going to have is the least desirable. Not that we care about network TV, but just the overall vibe of this thing has just completely changed with the injury to Derek and how shabbily they played on New Year's Day in Denver.
Now, Greg, there was a part of me that wants to think that, okay, you know, with the injury happening to Carr, following it up the next week by what was, you know, obviously their worst performance of the year, that they were still maybe a little bit stunned by what happened to Derek. Should we expect something different, regardless of, you know, the fact that you've got a third-string rookie quarterback that's getting his first start in a playoff game? Will it be different just because now they've face the fact that they're without Carr and they're settling in a little bit to what they've got to face with Connor Cook?
Well, I mean, there's different components to the team. I think what's really alarming and disappointing, most disappointing about Sunday in Denver was just how badly they played on defense and the missed tackles. They had not been missing tackles. It's not a great defense. But they've been overcoming their limitations by getting the guy down in the open space. The first series of the game, David Amerson missed three tackles. And then he grabs a face mask, could have got off the field on third down. So the defense, you would think they would have really been on top of their game, knowing that you know, we're probably not going to get into the high 20s here. If we get into the low 20s, that may be it. You know, we're going to have to control the game. But they're just not built that way. They just played a poor game. They have too many holes in the defense. So the offense then needs to pick it up. And just not having the balance and the complete threat of the pass game. And Derek is just so brilliant. For a young player, his mind is, I'm not going to say it's Peyton Manning and Tom Brady yet, but he plays a numbers game. The Indianapolis game, go back in your mind to that game before he got hurt, how well they were playing. How well they were running the ball with the pistol shotgun runs, back-to-back DeAndre Washington 22-yard touchdowns. I was thinking, wow, maybe they can beat Pittsburgh. Maybe they can go into New England and beat Brady and Belichick. And then he gets hurt, and you lose not only the threat of him throwing the ball, his brilliance in the running game and the balance. I think the big thing is they loaded up the box to shut down the Raider running game and said, well, Matt McGloin, go back and make a play, and he couldn't do it. So, and then Connor Cook came in and looked good, but it's just, you know, he doesn't have the synchronicity, if I want to, you know, bring out an old Police album with the passing game. They don't, you know, you just see that Amari and Michael, especially with Matt, they're just off. These guys don't get the reps. You're just throwing them in, you know, on opening night on Broadway, and you haven't had the choreography together, and you're just off. So to your point, maybe a little more time. They can get a little better, but this takes not just weeks and days. It takes months and years for some teams to. That's why Peyton was so good with Harrison and Wayne, and they worked together years. They just had a little wink, and they knew, you know, move here, move there, outside coverage. It's just so it's hard. You're never going to be able to get all that. But I was just disappointed with the effort level. I think a lot of the guys were sick. The flu was going around the team quite a bit. I know the coaches had it, quite a few of them, and there are a lot of surgical masks flying back from Denver, kind of like open-heart surgery on a team. So maybe all those factors, maybe they can just press reset and play. And this is not, as you were saying, Osweiler is not a great player. This is a flawed Houston team on their offensive side as well. They got a very good defense. So you got to press reset and just go play. The Denver game is what it is. It's over. You didn't win the division. You got to go. It's a playoff game. They haven't played one of these in a decade and a half. So I hope they bring it to the level you need to bring it to win this game on Saturday.
I mean, Greg, you kind of said it. This Houston team is flawed, and I'm trying to look for silver linings here, but sometimes, you know, when there's not a book on a guy like a Connor Cook, that can be just enough. And what I'm wondering is if Connor Cook has the talent to catch a team like Houston off guard in a one-week scenario like that.
He has the talent to make plays. I think, you know, he looks the part. He's 6'4", 217 pounds. He was a three-year starter in Michigan State. That's a heck of a good conference, the Big Ten. He went 34-5. He beat Jim Harbaugh's last year. So he's capable. He looks the part. There's no question. He's come so far. First time I laid my eyes on him, I thought, who is this guy? I mean, he was bouncing throws. He was highly inaccurate. He was late on throws, wobbling balls throughout the offseason into the training camp. You thought, whoa, what is the deal here? But then he got better, and when the preseason game started, he played better. He made some mistakes, but he looks the part. The ball comes out of his hand nice, and the touchdown pass he threw New Year's Day in Denver to Amari Cooper was a fabulous play. The play-action fake, the movement required on the footwork on that play, come back to your left side, hit him on a corner route. It was great. But then, you know, he floats the ball down the middle of the field badly on a seam route. He does not keep the ball into his body as the pressure is getting around to him, and they punch it out, they strip sack, and you lose the ball. He's going to make some plays, I think. This is a good Houston defense. Their secondary, I don't think it's quite as good as Denver's, but they got three good cover corners. Clowney is a monster, merciless. You got to deal with Will Fork. I think they'll try to go at him. There's some linebackers you can attack as far as coverage. But the biggest thing I'm worried about is Romeo Crennel, their defensive coordinator. He's been doing this forever. You know, he's won a lot of Super Bowls with Bill Belichick and the Giants, and he's been doing this forever, before Connor was born. So he's when he's got a guy, young guy, that's a little deer in the headlights, he's going to go at him. He's going to give you sometimes he rushes three, drop eight. Hell, sometimes he rushes one, drops 10. Sometimes he brings seven, and they're overloaded. And Clowney's walking around. You don't know where he's coming from. So this Connor's got the ability. I just don't know if he has the mentality. It's impossible. It hasn't been downloaded into his brain enough. So it's going to be a hard challenge. You know, it's just, guys around him have got to play better. The offensive line's got to dominate the game. The running game's got to dominate the game. I don't care if they got 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15 guys in the box. You got to run it at them. You got to take the pressure off of this young quarterback. That's the most disarming thing from New Year's Day is the guys did not play well around the quarterback position, and the quarterback position's on the spotlight with this injury with Derek.
Greg Papa joining us, brought to you by Jiffy Lube, our Raiders insider, on the call, of course, this weekend against the Texans. Greg, we were talking about this earlier, just to wrap up that point. Defense steps up. Running game steps up. Is it a silly distraction for Raiders fans to think that Connor Cook could make a little bit of noise in these playoffs?
No, he could. I don't know. You know, let's just get through this game.
Yeah.
If you win this game, you may have to go to New England. So this is going to be a challenge. This is going to be a hard game. I go back to the game against Houston and Mexico City. Derek and the first team offense was strangled. They had nothing. They had 120 yards going to the fourth quarter. Clowney was just a monster. They could not block him. He was ruining the running game. So you got to have a plan to block him. The quarterback gets all the accolades and the attention and you know, the money and the girls, and but they're going to play well around him. This is on Kelechi Osemele. I think Kelechi, they don't talk a lot about him because you don't know who he is. I think he's the best player on this team, the left guard. He needs to kick ass. He did not play well in Denver. I don't know if he's fully over the kidney stones or what the deal is, but Kelechi has got to, he's got to take Clowney, and sometimes they move Clowney inside over him. The guys around him have got to give him the platform. You know, Derek had a great year. But they did not get close to Derek Carr this year. He gets the ball out of his hands fast. This was one thing. But they had an interesting stat on the broadcast, the distance between defenders to the quarterback. And they come up with these new next-gen stats, which are always intriguing. And it's the greatest. Derek had the greatest pocket. Basically, he was the least pressured as far as players and defenders in his face. So when you got a nice big pocket, Connor Cook's a big guy. He's 6'4". He's not like Matt McGloin, who's under 6". Where it's hard for him to see around the rush. Connor can see it. So if you give him a clean pocket, there's clever play design from Bill Musgrave, and I know he'll give it to you, and you get easy pitch and catches, he can do it. You know, but if you take away his first read and he's got to hold it, I was impressed the way he went through his progressions on that two-point conversion. They took Seth Roberts away on the little drag route on the goal line, and he came back to Amari over the middle. They swatted it away, but that was pretty good. I was like, wow, this guy's going through his reads here. I've seen quarterbacks play for years that don't have that kind of mind to process the defense. So he's capable, but this is the NFL. It's a playoff game. This has never been done in the modern era where you're asking a rookie to start a playoff game, and you got to do it on a road in a dome against Romeo Crennel. So he'll be fine, but they're going to have to play well around him.
So, Greg, we were talking about this earlier. Let's go Disney movie for a second because I loved asking you the stupid questions. Connor Cook comes
in. And you're very good at it.
I am very good. I may be one of the best, Greg.
You're the best stupid question asker I've ever had.
See, Matt, that's a promo. So here's what we do. Connor Cook comes in. Team rallies around him. He turns out to be the second coming of Dak Prescott plus two. Leads him to the Super Bowl. They win. They're Super Bowl champions.
Oh,
hey, I'm just asking you, is there a quarterback controversy this summer?
Oh, come on.
I'm just asking. He led them to the Super Bowl.
You're going from
I'll ask you a real question.
Somebody has his chin strapped tight. You want him to win the Super Bowl.
Okay, when it happens, then we're going to revisit
okay,
this.
If that happens, yes. I'll have this discussion with you on, what, February the 6th, the yes. day after the Super Bowl. Right now, that is light years away. That is a long way to go. What do you want to get rid of Derek Carr?
I'm just saying if he –
Niners could use him.
The weirdest world. Yeah, the Texans could use it. If this happens and he leads him to the Super Bowl, Connor Cook, your Super Bowl MVP is going to Disneyland. What are you just going to trade him?
I'm going to trade him the next day after the Super Bowl. I mean, that may be the stupidest
Thank
question.
Thank
you. Yes.
That's the kind of question you get on Media Day Tuesday of the Super Bowl.
That's right. First take, baby. Right
well,
here.
Greg, I'm gonna save you.
Garoppolo's way better than you. Why the hell do you play in this game? Come on.
I'll ask you a real question since Dave has just set the bar extremely low.
I said it was yeah. stupid.
But I'm curious, you know, it is kind of risky in my mind to start a rookie quarterback in a situation like this. And yes, Matt McGloin had the injury to the shoulder, but then I also, you know, read him talking about, hey, I want to play. I'm going to do everything I can to play. If he is available and healthy, do you still go with Connor Cook in this situation?
Well, I don't know. I was really disappointed in Matt's performance. I know Matt. We're friends. I've hung out with him. He's a good guy. He's a feisty guy. I thought he played really well. When they drafted Derek Carr, I was of the impression, don't overreach for a quarterback. Matt can do it. You know, you got to build the whole team around him. Like kind of like what the Seahawks did with Russell Wilson. The last piece was the quarterback. So, you know, Matt can hold this down for a while. He went 1-5. He went into Houston his first year and won that first game through three touchdown mm-hmm. passes. I always believed in him. But he hasn't gotten reps. I watched him warm up before the game, as I do every game closely, the Raiders and more so the opponents to get a feel for them. And I'm watching him just this is way out before the game, hours before the game, not even when the guys have helmets and shoulder pads on when they're warming up. Pre-game. This is, you know, early when they're in, you know, stocking caps and shorts. And he's out there throwing with the receivers, and he's doing fine. And then he throws a deep dig, which is like an 18-yard in-cut to Seth Roberts. And he threw it really low, almost bounced it. Seth had to go way down to get it. And he made a bad throw in pregame. No big deal. And then he just, I mean, he dropped a F-bomb. It was like, chill out. What are you so amped about? And then a couple of throws later, they were throwing go routes to the back of the end zone, and he overthrew Andre Holmes, and Andre didn't quite go get it enough, and he throws his hands up in the air, and he's all mad. I'm thinking, whoa, I was going to go over and wish him luck. Now I'm just going to get him a shot glass. So I thought he's just it surprised me that he was a little overly amped. And then I saw him right before kickoff. He's smiling. He looked loose, and I thought he can do this. And then the biggest problem was they fell behind 7-0 before he said hike. And going into Denver, it's so loud. And Von Miller is just, God, is he a good player in every regard. He's so fast and powerful. He's a hell of a player. And you got to deal with him when you're in third and fives and longer all day. But where, you know, he obviously missed some throws. But where I got a little I lost my confidence in him, not completely, but I began to think, wow, it's just hard not to play all these years than go play in Denver.
Right.
In a game where you win the AFC West, you lose, and you're not. That when they got to third and eight, that one, or second and eight, that one situation, and he took the delay of game. And I didn't really know why. I watched it back, and it seemed like the play call was in, and he just held him at the line too long, like he was, you know, looking at their front, and it just wasn't coming to him instinctively. And that's where the game, to me, got unraveled. Now you're, you know, second and 13, and they had two plays in a row where they barely got the playoff. One time he checked because he saw a blitz, and he threw a go route down the sideline to Crabtree against Tlaib, and Tlaib grabbed Michael's necklace. But he just started to press. He started to miss throws he doesn't miss. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. You know, going into this whole deal, I would never have said start trying to cook in a playoff game. Are you crazy? But they may not have any other choice, whether Matt is completely healthy. And the other part of it is Matt may be healthy later in the week. But if he's not healthy right now, getting the game plan, executing the game plan, and just getting on the practice field. You know, we had a talking on my radio show yesterday that you may even want to shoot him up with a painkiller to practice, which is kind of out there in the NFL. You don't do that. You do that to play games. You don't want to be, you know, taking this medication unless you have to. But the point is he just needs the reps with his receivers. So to throw him into a playoff game if he hasn't been able to practice all week is kind of why the Texans are going with Osweiler in this game, although, you know, they got $72 million on this guy, and the owner handpicked him. So if you don't play him and you lose, you know, the owner's not going to be happy. But just the fact that he doesn't get the reps all week. But I'm with you. I mean, I think if they're completely – if he's healthy and this injury never occurred, I think Matt's capable of doing it. And I worry about Connor just being a neophyte going into Romeo Crennel's house. It's going to be hard. But Matt really did not play well. And I think the bottom line is he's not completely healthy right now, which means he can't prepare to play on Saturday and get in harmony with his wide receivers.
Greg Papa, voice of the Raiders, with us on the drive. So here we are one game deep into the non-Derek Carr era of this season. A lot of the issues that popped up against Denver, Greg, whether it's the lousy defense or dumb penalties or dropped passes, those have been issues all year. And we know that Derek has been phenomenal, but were you surprised at how big the drop-off was when he got hurt and how just nobody seemed to step up on Sunday?
I was shocked. I mean, this was such a big game. It is just such a big deal in the NFL to win your division. The way they structure it is that, you know, you go right on to the second round. You don't have to go on the road and win a wild card game. It's huge. And then when you, in the Raiders' case, with the second round, they'd have a home game. So just light years difference. I was shocked that they didn't play better, and specifically on defense. I think the guys, you know, there's guys they've paid. David Amerson, they gave money to, which I thought was premature. I thought, let's just watch him a little bit here before we start paying the guy. He was terrible. He's been a good player for the Raiders this year. His first series, I don't want to say it screwed up the game, but it didn't start it well. He had a terrible first series. Sean Smith was getting picked on. He got ragdolled on that screen play. I mean, you allow them to go on a third and 18 screen where they're just checking out the back to get back into field goal range, and you just don't fit it well at all, and you don't get off blocks. And they nobody laid a finger on Booker. They didn't touch him. Justin Forsett's run, they were not lined up right. They didn't have the defense set for the snap. Now, some of it was Keith McGill just came into the game, and he had an injury. He lost Carl Joseph. You lose Nate Allen with a concussion. He gets kicked in the head by his own teammate, and you bring in McGill, who hasn't played in weeks, and it's just one guy can screw it up, and he missed a tackle. He got trucked on one play. So, yeah, I thought, again, go back. Just close your eyes and go back to right before Derek got hurt. How good were they? How good were they against the Colts? And it wasn't all Derek. They were running right. And Indy's not a great run defense. They're light. They're built light. But how good were they playing? How good? Andrew Luck had 7 points. We're mid-third quarter. The great Andrew Luck has 7. So, I don't know. I mean, one guy can't pull it all down. I mean, I don't think it's the question where they were shaking and upset that they lost Derek. I think they just didn't play well, whether there was illness going through the locker room or whatever. They just played awful. But they can't do that anymore. I think you'll see a whole different mindset in this game. They're going to come out, you know, this is it. You lose, you're done. So they're going to come out with the proper level of ferocity. But they still got limitations, and you got smart guys on the other side and tough defense and great corners and Clowney and Now you got to go win a game on the road in the playoffs, which is the situation you put yourself in.
Last question for Greg Poppin. We got 1 minute left here, Greg, but I've been waiting all interview to ask you this here. This is the big question.
And you wasted the stupid one?
No, no, no. Okay. So as the voice of the Raiders, I'm assuming you probably get a pair of tickets allotted each game. And let's just say you have a friend who asks you for your tickets to the Broncos game. And you find out after the friend asks you that he's bringing his wife, who is a diehard Broncos fan, and she will be wearing her pick a Bronco jersey to the game. Do you yank those tickets from your friend?
Before the game starts?
Well, you've got, like, let's say it's a week away.
I would have made it clear. You're asking a question that goes back decades.
Yep.
I would have made it clear to them that they cannot wear any orange in that, because they're going to sit in the Raiders section, first of all. This goes back, and I've been doing this for years, and people are appalled by it. They're like, they're fans of the other team, and they ask for tickets for a game, then they show up wearing that team, and they're like, why can't I do that? I go, well, what do you think these people do all week? This is what they do. I'll tell you a story. Years ago, we're in Buffalo, where I'm from, my hometown. And in the old days, we used to have parabolic microphones, they used to call them, those big, like many satellite dishes,
right,
mics. And my brother, I got my brother to hold the parabolic microphone on the sideline at the Bills game. So he gets in the booth with me, and he looks like Ralph Wilson. He's wearing a Bills hat, a Bills slicker, the owner of the Bills. I'm like, what are you wearing? You can't go on the sideline.
Right.
There was a story years ago where, when Al Davis was alive, they were playing the Jets, and somebody wore a green jacket on the Raiders sideline during a Jet game, and he went crazy.
That's right.
I'm like, you cannot go on the Raiders sideline and wear a Buffalo Bills hat and coat. And he's looking at me like, what? I'm like, what if I did, in his business, if I wore the competitor's hat into one of your staff meetings, how would that go? So it's just people don't get it. So, yes, your last question about this, the Disney movie, that was really dumb.
Okay.
This one's good.
Okay.
Exactly. Pull those tickets.
Oh, no.
Can't connect them.
Thank you, because Katie, the sideline reporter, gave a pair of her tickets to her friend who's bringing his wife, who is going to wear her Steph Curry jersey this
Which
Sunday against the Warriors.
Which I did not know before Pull time, and I'm not it. Pulling tickets.
This is Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Katie, that's fine. Come on. The kids fans love Steph Curry.
Oh,
I'd wear a Steph Curry and a Seth Curry. I'm gonna let him go. I think one day Seth Curry's gonna be a Warrior.
Yeah,
he might be.
That's
late.
A different deal. He's America's favorite.
Yes.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank
I
you so much.
It.
We'll talk to you next week. Good luck this weekend.
Hopefully there will be a next week. Yes.
Right. Take care.
Thanks.
That's Greg Poppa. We'll take a break. Was just informed that we are once again dealing with tech issues with Ken Rudolph.
It must be this horrible storm.
I think it is. Stormwatch 2017. Hey, that's fine. What do you know? Free segment. What say we revisit what we spoke about earlier today? And we'll also take your Bearco moment of the game call. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Just tell us what the Bearco moment of the game was yesterday, and you are going to win a Bearco Redwood gift certificate and a King's prize pack. We've also got Jim Rome passes in just a few minutes as well. A big half hour. Don't go away as we talk about why Katie should take her tickets back for the Sunday's game against the Warriors next. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.